Hi, my name is Sarah Tran.
And this is Mekha Jan.
And we
are Technology. Hi, everyone. Welcome to our Tuesday episode. Sarah and I are starting this new thing. So we drink tea during each podcast episode, but we weren't making it apparent until now. and this podcast is called Technology. So we figured that we'd start each podcast episode by sharing what kind of tea that we're drinking with you guys.
Right, because also, like, for anyone listening, we all know that tea is better than coffee.
Oh, yeah.
There's no debate, period.
Hands down. Yeah, no argument about it. So yeah, we love spilling tea and we also drink tea. So what kind of tea are you drinking, Sarah?
Yeah, today I'm just keeping it classic, you know, going with the green tea. What about you?
Oh my God, wait, no way. I'm actually drinking green tea as well. So people can't see us, but we're also wearing the same exact shirt right now, which was a small coincidence, but it happens all too often. So,
you know, that actually reminds me, like, I feel like we do this thing where we're always twinning. And, you know, not just physically, but apparently from what we've heard from you guys, the viewers, is we've heard that we sometimes sound the same.
Oh, yeah. We have the same voice and we didn't even realize it. Yeah.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. It was so funny. My parents were listening to the podcast and they said that we sound alike. And that's my parents. They've been listening to me for 18 years. So that's kind of crazy. Today's episode is about COVID-19 tech on college campuses, which is a touchy subject for a lot of people because obviously this year did not go the way that any of us had planned.
Yeah, and I just feel like we're all in this kind of weird space where we're trying to adjust. And actually, you know, tomorrow, so the day after this podcast episode is being released, I would actually be on a plane to Philadelphia right now, getting ready to move into my college dorm. But Penn recently changed their plans because of everything that's going on with COVID. What's it like at Berkeley right now, Mekha?
Yeah, I mean, I had decided a few months ago that I would be staying home and not moving in, just because they changed all the campus housing to singles, which meant that it had significantly increased the price for staying on campus. Also, the fact that I would have to share a bathroom with a lot of people on my floor during a global pandemic just was not sitting right with me. So I decided it would be best if I stayed home. But yeah, I mean, by the time this episode is released, tomorrow will be my first day of classes at Berkeley, August 26th. We always start really early. This year is no different. And yeah, I'm feeling nervous and excited.
But yeah, so that's actually like one of the main reasons why we wanted to have this episode, because we're all starting school. And education is just such a fundamental part of our lives as, you know, as Gen Z. And it kind of brings up the question, like, how do we adjust to these times? And so we wanted to leverage our knowledge of business and tech to kind of provide real solutions. And so that kind of something that Mekha said was about financing college. And so today I actually want to talk about how do we adjust, but in a financial sense. And then Mekha, which one did you want to talk about?
I want to talk about adjusting in a social sense, because people keep asking me the question, like every person I FaceTime who's going to Berkeley, we all just keep asking ourselves, how are we supposed to meet new people? And I think that's very valid.
But yeah, to start us off, I want to talk about this one startup called Moz. So it's spelled M-O-S. And essentially, the way the founder describes it is it's like TurboTax married with Typeform. And pretend they had a baby, and that's Moz.
I love that.
Me too, right? It's great branding. And so this company, Moz, was founded in 2017 by Amira Yayari. I hope I'm saying her name right. My apologies if I'm not. But for a quick sort of line before I get into what the actual startup is about, essentially, it's a new way to streamline the FAFSA and, you know, college financial aid process, which can really be this big hairy beast on its own. So I'm really glad there's things or initiatives such as Moz that are really working in this space.
Right. And it's getting so hard to manage and track finances, especially with the quickly changing landscape that COVID-19 has caused. It's put so many students under increased economic stress. And this year, more than any other year, college students are deciding not to go to schools out of state or schools that are too far away from them. So this pandemic has had an absolutely unprecedented impact on the decisions that college students are making, especially in the financial realm.
That is really true. And I mean, college debt has always been a huge issue. I think that in itself is, it deserves its own episode.
Right, for sure.
But as of 2020, the national US college debt statistic is around $1.56 trillion.
Oh God.
Right.
Oh God, I hate that. Yeah. Right.
But that's why I like this startup a lot, because Moz has actually helped over 200,000 students, and it was founded in 2017. So it's only been 3 years, and they've reached over 200K students. And additionally, they're actually backed by Sequoia Capital and some angel investors at Uber. So this shows that this startup is not just something that, you know, it's not just getting started, but it's something that's been very well established in that quick time. And I think it really just shows the need that's around the issue. And then to sort of talk about their services, the way it works is upfront, you pay $149. So that's literally the only amount that you'll pay with this entire service. It's through their website. And then your initial sort of process is just you filling out this super simple application form on your phone or your computer, and it only takes you around 20 minutes. Then after that, you'll be matched with an advisor who will literally just like text you. And it's pretty funny because it helps a lot with sort of the FAFSA process, which is often done through email. And so now it's just bringing an advisor, and it's bringing a human element to really help you through your phone and your text messages, which is something that's super helpful for us as college students. But I guess, you know, that's sort of the objectives and logistics about the startup. But what I really wanted to talk more about was about the origin story of the startup. So Amira basically started Moz because she has a very extensive background in human rights advocacy. She actually describes herself as a human rights activist. Yeah, she's pretty awesome. I think that was my favorite part about researching this startup. For some more context, she was actively involved in the Arab Springs and that entire sort of pro-democratic movement. And she kind of talks about how education is this cornerstone to a true functioning democracy. And that's why she was trying to tackle like the financial aspects to affording a college education.
I think that's really cool, especially her coming from the background that she does come from. I think it helps you better understand, as a founder, what your users would possibly need. And Sarah and I were talking about this earlier. The UI of the website is like super, super cool. And it's something that I would definitely want to use. But speaking of founders who identified problems in their old professions and then tried to create startups and solutions to it, is Courtney or Coco Eason. She started a app in 2017 called Milk the Moment, and it was inspired by her experience in the entertainment industry, because she used to give live concerts and shows, and she noticed that most of her audience would be on their phones, which I think is incredibly rude, but I feel like I'm definitely guilty of doing that at least a couple times in concerts, even, you know, before COVID-19, when everything was right in front of me and I really could have milked the moment, I wasn't on. And she was so frustrated by this, she created an app that basically helps you get off of your phone and spend more time with your family, friends, and just doing things that matter to you.
And I really like that name, because I feel like, you know, even though we're temporarily no longer able to go socialize and hang out with our friends and like go to concerts, it's not too late to milk the moment still. I mean, I'm pretty guilty of this, that like I'm literally always on my phone at home, especially because of COVID-19 and everything. But I think there's these little ways that we can like kind of take a break from our phone.
Very true. And the tagline of the app is actually phones down, milk the moment. And it's a mission I really believe in, just because of the way that they make this happen. They have like a three-step process. Number one is, you know, registering for the app, telling the app a little bit about your interests so it can figure out what it can substitute your phone time with that you'd still enjoy. And then the second part is just assessing where you spend most of your time on your phone. And for me, that's definitely social media. Like Instagram and LinkedIn take up most of my screen time. I've seen the stats before. I don't like it. And I think a lot of college students are guilty of doing that, which really ends up hurting you during the school year. Like I'm actually scared because I feel like I'm not leaving enough time for studying and doing other things that really matter to me.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like even just taking a second to like not do anything and just let your brain recuperate and just know what we even did in a day. Because I think we live in a society where like everything is flashing. Like, I mean, like people talked about this in our TikTok episode, like you literally have these gyrating apps that are so addicting. I know you remember that quotation because it was really powerful. And I think it just shows we live in a world that's so overstimulating that, you know, I think you can learn a lot from just doing nothing sometimes.
Yes, I definitely agree. Overstimulating is the right word for it. And people say, oh my God, I feel like I lack creativity now, or I'm in a creativity block during this pandemic. And I think it's part of the reason is because we've all been on our phones so much that we've kind of almost turned our brains off. Like we put it in sleep mode every time we're just scrolling through Instagram mindlessly. The best part about this app though is that it just gamifies this entire process because it also allows you to compete with your friends and your family, which also generates increased user traffic for the app, so it helps them out as well. You can compete with other people in your life to see if you're using your phone the least. And I think that is a really powerful tool because I know I'm a very competitive person. If I was competing with my friends, family, even you, I challenge you. Follow this app.
That is actually such a great idea. Challenge freaking accepted. You're gonna go down.
No, I think the only thing that's going down, Sarah, is my phone time, okay?
Oh!
I'm telling you,
that's good.
So, I mean, I think this is just a great tool to use for productivity. Mm-hmm. To any of our listeners who are college students, I would highly recommend downloading this and giving it a try.
So the one thing about Milk the Moment that I was really thinking about, as much as I love the app, I love the founder story, I love everything, the vision, but I'm wondering, like, how do they actually generate any revenue? Like, is it a real business?
Right.
Yeah. And so I was doing some research on this, and my sort of hypothesis is that they're more of a business-to-business model. And I think that the way they do this is because they are able to like partner with businesses. So one of the cool things that they do is that if you're like, you know, you're winning and you're crushing mega on the app and you're
not happening, okay,
and you're getting all these points accumulated, you can eventually like, you know, cash them in for like coupons and like, you know, gift cards. And I think that that effectively could be sort of a revenue model because, for example, if you partner with Groupon, you know, if you give them more customers, you're going to get a revenue as well.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I mean, Milk the Moment is kind of an early stage startup, so they're not as transparent with their revenue stream and their finances as some like larger, older companies would be. But I think that's definitely a possible way that they could make money, and they may be already making money. And they also have secured like quite a lot of funding, actually. They have like $52,000 in funding already, even though they only recently started. And you can see based off of the way they market themselves that they're still looking for their initial user base, which I think is really cool. It just kind of reinforces that this is a message that a lot of people believe in. And now more than ever, we want to milk the moment. Other than that, something else I wanted to quickly touch upon is our social lives. Because while we're being told not to use our phones and we're realizing the harmful effects that our phones and social media can have on us, there's also that other aspect of it where people keep asking me, how do I connect with people? How do I meet new people? So maybe when you are on your phone, you can use this other app that's called Campus Chill. Now, unfortunately, I will preface this by saying that for some reason, it is not available to UC Berkeley students. I'm really hoping that they hear this and, you know, it becomes available to UC Berkeley students as well. So to test this app out, I had to register as a UCLA student.
Oh my gosh.
But cool. I tested it out and it seemed really cool because it basically asks you a series of questions, kind of like, what do you do for fun or what do you find fun? And it'll give you like two options and you basically pick one of the two options and you keep that option until a better option comes along. And it keeps going that way until at the very end of the quiz, you have two of your top picks and you have to choose one of them. And just based off of the way that it's set up, I have to assume that it's using machine learning algorithms to cluster you with other groups of people who have similar interests as you. And at the end of the quiz, it suggests you like different people from your own university who have similar interests to you and you'd want to connect with. And I think the best thing about it is that it can also connect to your Instagram and Snapchat. So you can add these people on other social media apps as well.
Yeah, just that idea of being able to match with other people in a way that's not like, you know, romantic, Tinder or anything, but just to make friends. Because I know as for myself, as an incoming college student, and especially since I can't meet people in person, I'm always looking for ways to actually make new friends and connections that just feels organic. And I think just sort of, you know, utilizing our interests that we already have is really beneficial.
Definitely agreed. And, you know, there's Bumble BFF and other apps out there as well. The only thing I would want to say to anyone listening who is an incoming college freshman or a college student right now is that be really safe about using these apps. I get a little creeped out sometimes because I am a UC Berkeley student and I was able to say that I'm a UCLA student and really easily get on this app and meet other students from UCLA, which kind of brings up the question, who can claim that they're a UC Berkeley student or a UPenn student and easily enter and infiltrate the communities on these universities? I liked this app specifically because it also connects to your Instagram and Snapchat. So there's almost like another layer of verification where you can go and see if this person is actually legit and they're going to the school that they say they're going to. And I think that does add a layer of security almost.
And so on that note, I've about finished all my tea. What about you?
Yeah, I'm getting there as well, Sarah. I don't think we have much more tea to spill.
Well, that's awesome. That's about it for this episode. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. Next week, we're doing a really fun episode about podcasting. And that's actually because a lot of you guys have been reaching out to us and saying, oh my God, this is so cool. I want to start my own podcast now. Like,
I think we went for it. And other people want to do the same. So this episode is just going to talk about some podcasting technology. It's going to feature a fellow podcaster as well as some people who work on the back end of podcasting apps. So it's going to be really cool. But yeah, to anyone who is starting college along with us, we know that this ride has not been easy. We speak from experience. It really sucked to not have prom, graduation, not get the closure you needed from high school, and then now to be moving on to college. So whether you're doing this virtually or you're doing this in person, we just want to say we're there with you. We're all in this together, you know, high school class of 2020. And good luck.
Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you at our next episode.